You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Lord.
Well, good afternoon. We thank you, Lord, and we're honored to be here with you, Lord, and all the people who'll be listening up and down the Treasure Coast today. So we greet and welcome all you listeners wherever you're at. And we just ask you to have ears to hear what the Spirit is going to say to you today.
Amen.
And so we're honored to be with you, and we're honored to be part of WCNO Radio. It's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so we've been on this program now for a little over 16 years. Won't be long, it'll be 17 years. But it's a privilege to talk to all you out there in listening land. And whether you're on the radio or on the internet, we welcome you to the program. Hope you can stay tuned in for the entire hour. We're on from 12 noon until 1 every single Saturday. And so, as we said, we're honored to be with you.
Amen.
So I have ears to hear. We talked about Esther last week, the beginning of it. And we're going to do the second half of the book of Esther. And before we do that, we got a few announcements to make here. And then we'll get into our teaching. As we tell you every week, if you would like to hear it again, all you have to do is make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries to any amount that you would want to give and send it to Post Office Box 413. It's in Stewart, and the zip there is 34995. And just make it out to the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, that Don and I have co-pastored this church for 21 years now. It goes by fast as a pastor.
21 years.
Yeah, so we're honored to be here with you. And so
thank you, Lord.
We love you. That's why we're on the program, because we want to see the standard raised in the body of Christ. You heard the intro, and we do a lot with the Hebraism and all that. And so be blessed with what you hear, not because of Don and I, but because we're going to give you the Word of God. Amen.
Amen. We're right. Working on 22 right
That's
now,
right.
aren't we, Pastor Gene?
That's right. So, Pastor
also,
Don,
on this radio program, we've been on for over 16 years. So
That's
those
right.
of you have been listening. Some have been listening for 16 years, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
So they're hanging in there. Amen. Yeah. And they're seeing the things happen that God talks about in His Word. And some of you may just have turned us on for the very first time. This may be the very first time you've listened. And we're just going to be, we just kind of flow together. And we pastor a church here in Stewart, Florida, Pastor Gene said, the Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we do have services here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And we also have fellowship after service. And we spend time fellowshipping and just, you know, praying for the saints. And we are a full gospel church. And
we use the King James Bible.
Yes, we do. We use the King James Bible. And we want to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Hallelujah.
And we also have services on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, we have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. And we have communion. We spend time seeking God's presence.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And we remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, even though we don't do it legalistically.
Amen.
Amen. We just feel that God wants us to have a Friday night service, and we do. We don't have a Wednesday night service. We have a Friday night service.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Saturday. We have classes on Saturday. We have classes in the afternoon, worship classes, worship arts classes. And we have also Bible school at 4 o'clock every Saturday, except not today. Today we are celebrating Purim.
Purim. Hallelujah.
Amen. Celebrating Purim. So, and we do other things during the months and teachings. We teach many things on deliverance, and we teach a lot of things on spiritual gifts, because God has given everyone spiritual gifts. Amen?
Amen.
So if you'd like to know more information, or you'd like a calendar from the church, and you know more about the church, just give us a call. We'd be glad to send you out a calendar free of charge. And also, we teach a lot of things about the prophetic and the end times, the end days. We are living in the end times. And we teach a lot about the feasts of the Lord and how it relates to prophecy in the last days.
Amen.
Amen. And so, like Pastor Gene said, I'm going to give the phone number in just a moment. We are teaching today about finishing up the book of Esther. Esther is a very important book. God's name isn't mentioned in it any place in all the 10 chapters.
That's right.
But God is throughout the whole Bible.
His signature's on every page.
It's the little book that's just before the book of Job,
mm-hmm.
and just after the book of Nehemiah. So if you want to turn there, you can kind of follow us along in your Bible, if you're not driving, that is. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You can also, if you are driving and you want to listen to this program again, you can listen to us on the internet. It's WCNO.com. That's WCNO.com. And you can listen to this program again. If you want to go listen to it, it's because they have programs on there on WCNO for, I think the last year or two. So you can listen to programs from, just go to Saturday and look at 12 noon, Raising the Standard.
On the right date, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So every Saturday at 12 noon, it's called Raising the Standard is the name, and it says Pastor Gene Hilton. So if you'd like to listen to more or some other of our teachings, just go there and you'll be blessed by that as well. Amen. So I want to give you our phone number. As I said, we're here in Stuart, Florida. It's not that far from people that come from Palm Beach or, even Vero Beach. There are people all around. Anyways, the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And I like to say we're 007 agents, because we are a team ministry. Just as you're going to hear today that we're not the first team ministry, nor will we be the last.
Amen.
Nor will, God calls husband and wives to minister together. And everyone has a special call in their life, and everybody has special gifts, and we should complement each other. Amen. God knows who he puts together for what purpose. Amen. Just like Esther and Mordecai, God knew who to put together to do the work of God. Even though, like I said, God's not mentioned in this book anywhere, but prophecy is mentioned in here. And as we have this our program this afternoon, those of you who will be there, you're going to see much prophecy during this time of Esther and how it will...
And with team ministry, too.
And team ministry, because they were a team. And one of them was young and one of them was old. So, God doesn't look at age, hallelujah, but they were a team, and they had to work together, or else, the fulfillment of God wouldn't have happened at that time. And Mordecai even told Esther, who knows that you haven't come to the kingdom for such a
time as
this. And that word is still
active today.
Who knows that you have come for such a time as this, and God has a purpose for your life, for everyone's life, and a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that God would raise up somebody else if you don't fulfill the call I have for you, Esther. God will find somebody else, and that's God always does that. He always will find somebody else who will obey him, because it's all about being faithful and being obedient. And of course, that hasn't changed at all. So, if you want to serve the Lord, then you need to be obedient and faithful to the call that God has in your life.
Amen.
No matter how old you are,
right,
or how young you might be.
I'm thinking, Pastor, now that acronym that we gave last week, the word team,
T-E-A-M,
together everyone accomplishes more. We want you to think about that word. There's no I in it. It's not me, myself, and I. It's team ministry, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be a bunch of lone rangers. We got to have some people around us that will... If we're not married, you have to have a team that will work together with you to accomplish what God wants done. Amen. So
even a church is a team.
That's right.
It's not one person doing everything.
That's right.
It's not the pastor doing everything. It's the whole team working together to accomplish the goal that God has on a certain ministry. So that if you're not in a church somewhere, the Bible says that we need to be
planted
in the body of Christ.
Deep in the house of God.
Right. So, and we need to know where we're planted, and we need to have a vision. And Amen. So, you know, if you don't have a vision, if you don't have a similar vision, or if you don't, your vision doesn't line up with what God is doing, then you need to find a place where, you know, that vision will line up with what God is doing, because God has a place and a home for everyone to settle in and to feel comfortable in and to learn and to grow.
Amen.
And to be faithful and to do the work of the Lord, because, you know, it's not the pastor's job to do everything. He can't. There's no way he can.
Right.
God uses people, places, and things, and we're called to a certain place. We're called for this to this area. So for us to uproot and run off somewhere else would be getting
out of God's will.
And so then, you know, God might be able to use us, but not to the degree he wants to use us wherever he has planted us. So you need to know where you're planted. You don't just run off and just say, I'm going to go here or there because I want to. No, you need to pray.
You know that you're called.
Know that you're called. You know, Esther prayed.
That's
Mordecai
right.
prayed.
Hallelujah.
Esther fasted. Mordecai fasted. And not just Mordecai and Esther, but all the people.
Mm-hmm.
All the people did. All the people sought the Lord. You know, it's one thing about being close to the Lord, but you know, you got to draw near to God.
Absolutely.
You got to draw near to God. You got to become one in spirit, and be obedient to the call that God has in your life.
So,
you know?
If you come to that dinner on today, you'll see team ministry working all the time.
Well, some are coming.
That's right.
If not, you listen to this, and you can also, if you like a copy of this teaching or the CD, just give us a call. And you can order it. Amen. And you can also order Pastor Gene's book, which he's going to be sharing a little bit out of today. His commentary is the commentary of the Feast of the Lord. All the Feasts of the Lord. It doesn't say the Feasts of the Jews. It says the Feast of the Lord.
That's what the cover says. Now, the cover says
Amen.
God's prophetic calendar. And it's a picture of the Messiah as revealed, what? In the Lord's, what? Appointed times.
Appointed times. Amen. And also the very first thing is about God's prophetic calendar. And we need to know the calendar that God is using. What calendar is God using?
That's right.
And so many people now are starting to understand that there's a prophetic calendar and there's also a civil calendar. And you're even hearing people talk about it about these moons. Okay, they're all going to happen on the feasts of the Lord. And so God he set up the universe, right? He knows when the feasts are going to fall. And he knows when these blood moons are going
to
happen.
He's talking
as well.
To us, isn't he, all the time?
God should be. He's talking to us, and he even says back in Genesis, he said he put the moon and the stars and the sun in place. What?
For times and seasons.
Times and seasons, and for signs.
That's right.
For signs. A sign is something you drive down the street, you see a stop sign, well, you know you're supposed to stop, right? Well, a sign is to tell you something,
that's right.
So we need to be awake. We need to be aware of the signs that God has put in the heavenlies and also the signs on the earth. He said would be what? Earthquakes and storms and that happen. Look
turbulent
what's happening to the weather.
Yeah.
Many things are happening now. And so, but so many people are asleep or they're just dead to the things of the spirit, to the things that are going on. See, as people get so tied up in their own lives that they're not seeing what God is doing. But Jesus says in the book of Revelation that he's coming back for those who are
looking for him. That's right.
Many people are not looking, and they don't even want Jesus to come. But he's going to come, and so we can't stop him. So it's going to happen one day, and he's coming for those who are looking for him. If you're not looking for him, if you don't want him to come back, you know, don't expect to be caught away in the catching away. Amen.
So if you haven't seen that movie yet, The Son of God, we went to see it. It was wonderful. And I was so touched, and I got in tears at the end. And fun was over. I stood up and said, Hallelujah, he lives, and he's coming back again,
and
real loud.
That's right. And what's exciting, you know, maybe not all these movies are exactly right according to the Bible, but, you know, they touch people's hearts. They're drawing people to God. Here
yeah.
they've got another movie coming out about
Noah's Ark.
And then I understand there's another one coming out at the end of the month about miracles.
Yeah.
God is a God of miracles. And so people need to know that God is still a God of miracles. Amen.
That's right. We had the movie, a couple of years, 3 years ago, about One Night with the King. It was about King Ahasuerus and Esther and all that. So it was good.
So why are all these things happening right now? Bang, bang, bang. Well, God is trying to show the people, show the world. You know, what does he have to take the secular world and in movies? And, well, that's okay. Well, however, you need to wake up people and to draw them and to get their hearts, get them thinking about things, spiritual things and heavenly things.
Important things.
Yes, heavenly things, you know.
We're in the last days.
There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And,
that's it. Hallelujah.
And so we need to be looking up. We can't be looking down or walking and looking at our feet. We need to be looking up and be awake, be alert. He talks about in Isaiah, awake, awake, arise, arise, you know.
So we're going to talk about Esther again today. Now, last week we went through basically the first five chapters, but the Lord kind of spoke to him before we came on here to kind of do something up front here. I'd like to talk about Mordecai's ancestry and also Haman's ancestry. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned it a little bit last week, but not in a lot of detail. But remember, we find out that Mordecai is a Benjamite, and so his lineage and his family goes all the way back to King Saul. And we know what happened with King Saul. He rebelled, and when God had him come against the Amalekites, he was to kill the king and everything. And he didn't do that. He disobeyed. And so there was some people that survived and all that. And so what happened? The years went by, and now we come out here in the book of Esther, and we find out that approximately 577 years had gone by when this comes up to being now with the book of Esther. And we see what happens with this. But then let's look at Mordecai's ancestry. He was part of the Amalekites, and you go all the way back to the beginning when God told Saul to execute all of them. Well, he didn't do that. Well, Haman was one of the Mordecais, Haman was, I like to call him Haman Hitler. He was an ancestor, I should say, of the Amalekites all through that time. And so those 577 years went by, and that prophecy that was given to Saul to complete had not been done. And so we found out last week that when we found out that Mordecai was supposed to be hung on this gallows, we're going to talk about this today a little bit more. And so Haman made this gallows, and so the tables got turned, we're going to find out. And so he was hung on that. And so when that happened, what happened? That prophecy was put in place 577 years previous to this, was finally completed that time, and then the Jews had no more problems with the Amalekites after that. Isn't that incredible?
That's right.
That's where we left off last week. So I'm going
to
help
God had to finish the job.
He sure did.
He waited 500 some years.
That's right.
It's, you know, but they were wicked people. Haman was, like you said, he was of their seed, and he had great hate.
And he hated the Jews.
And over those years, the hate built up more and more and more in his family, in his generation. Even his 10 sons hated the Jews.
That's right.
And as he kept seeing Mordecai, a Jew.
Wouldn't bow
Jew
to him.
Who was fasting, who was laying in the gates in sackcloth and ashes. And he wouldn't bow to anyone. He only bowed to the Lord. And so when he would not bow, you know, it just stirred up that anger that was in Haman more and more. And, you know, God had a purpose.
Ooh, Haman.
You know, think about Saul. Even Saul, his anger got stirred up more and more. And other people in the Bible's anger got stirred up. You know, what about even back in the Old Testament? You know, even God uses these. I'm thinking of Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
Right. And anyway, so he got angry and angry and more angry until he was
and
just...
So did Pharaoh.
That's
in
right.
His day.
And so God knew that this was going to happen. And so he had two people in place who would do the will of God. God
That's
knows
it.
Who's going to do the will, who's going to do his mm-hmm. will. And so, you know, they didn't know what was going to happen, but they, as they were obedient to do the will of God, you know, God miraculously has a way.
He delivered them, didn't he?
To deliver the people. Mm-hmm. And so because of these two people and others who fasted and prayed, the Jewish people, they were delivered from this wicked Haman.
That's
and of
right.
course, everybody says boo when you said Haman.
That's right.
And Haman had 10 sons. But he was going to hang Mordecai. And he had gotten directions from his wife and from his friends to build a gallows, which was 75
feet high,
which is very high, maybe 4 or 5 stories high.
And tell the king about it.
And
what he was going to do.
That's right. And so he was gonna make himself happy. He was gonna hang him and destroy him. And then his other plan was, he had already made plans, and the king had given him the authority. I don't think the king thought much about it, did he?
Nope.
He gave him the authority. He gave him his ring. And
he was second in command.
The decree was set to kill all
the Jews.
I mean, not just a few, all the Jews. But God had a young woman in the court of the king.
Hadassah,
which she hid her identity. Just think about all the Jewish people who have hidden their identity down through time, because the enemy, like Hitler, was killing them. Mm-hmm. And so many Jewish people changed their name a little bit, or changed it so it didn't sound Hebrew. And
her name was changed also, wasn't it?
They hid their identity. And so even Esther's name, who's her name is really Hadassah, was her given name, her Jewish name. And her name, Mordecai told her, say your name is Esther, which means star.
Star.
Means star. So she really was a star of God.
She stood out.
In the kingdom there.
She sure did.
And she was the one who was chosen.
Amen.
See, she was chosen.
Because God's plan was in all that. Amen.
That's right. God's plan was in all that, and she was chosen. About us. We're a chosen generation.
A royal priesthood. That's right.
That's right.
So last week we kind of left off there, and we talked about how the plot that Haman had put in place to destroy not only Mordecai, but the Jews as well. Mm-hmm. And so the decree went out all over the provinces, 127 provinces, allow this to happen. And so they cast lots at Passover. It was on the 13th, which is the day before Passover. And then they go out 11 months, and the lot fell to what? Adar, 11 months later. But we see all the action that happened right here at Passover. And we see then that Mordecai found out what was happening. And so he began to go back and forth with Esther. They talked to Esther's chambermaids and all that, and they communicated with each other. And so she was concerned about Mordecai being in the house of the gate of the king, and he was in sackcloth and ashes, and he wasn't supposed to be doing that at all. And we see what happens if you read the book real carefully and all that. And so then we know that Esther goes before, she went before the king without even being asked, didn't she, Donna? She went in without being asked.
She stood at the gate, and he saw her.
But before she did that, she asked for all of her people and herself to pray and fast for 3 days. And I believe with all my heart, we mentioned last week, that God spoke to her during those 3 days to what was going to follow and how to do it. And so when the 3 days were over, it started on the 13th, they fasted on the 14th, 15th, and the 16th, and in the 17th day, that's when they came out, or she came out and went to the king. We showed last week that was a day 100 years in the future that our Messiah, Yeshua, would raise from the dead in that day back to almost 2,000 years ago. Well, she went before the king, not being asked. Remember, she said there that she hadn't been called by the king for 30 days.
Held
up her scepter to her. She came down and touched the scepter. She says, what is your request? Up to half of my kingdom. That was incredible,
He's going to give her half of his kingdom, and here she is. She's supposed to be one of the ones that's going to be killed, right?
Right.
Yet she's getting half the kingdom. I think that's
But the beauty of all this, honey.
God's sense of humor.
Right. But the beauty is God told her what to do during that prayer and fasting, because she asked the king if the king and Haman could come to a banquet that she had prepared. It'd be the king, Haman, and her. And so the king,
the three of them,
he accepted what she'd done. They went to the feast and the dinner.
She had already prepared the banquet, Pastor Jane.
Absolutely.
And so she already knew that she had heard from the Lord.
Absolutely.
And so she already knew that this was going to happen. This was going to come to pass. See, she had a prophetic. She knew. It was, when you know that you know, then you know that God is going to move on your behalf. So she had plans this meal, this banquet. Even before she goes, she gets all
she
cleaned
had a big
up,
feast, yep.
And she's all prepared, and she stands. She doesn't run in. She doesn't. There were two women. You think about it. Vashti, he tried to make her to come and show herself around. During his big party, his drunken party, and then there was another woman that was supposed to come. So the one had to be removed for the other one to come, the right one to come in, which was Esther. And so she just stood at the gate, and she just waited. And, he saw her, and so he's the one that called her in. And not to show her off, but because he saw her beauty, and not only her beauty, but he saw something special in her that maybe he didn't understand. It was the God connection that she had, But he saw something very special in her, and so she found favor. And even Mordecai, he found great favor with him. And we find out in the end of this book that he is placed second in command. He's given the king's ring. He has been given all kinds of authority. Given this horse and his royal house. I mean, he's come from a person who's been laying in sackcloth and dust, crying out to the Lord, making a lot of noise, complaining. A lot of people were probably complaining because it was against the law to lay in front of the king's gate. in sackcloth and ore, and sackcloth and, you know, ashes. And yet he continued to do it day after day.
So at the end, Esther is given Haman's house. You read that at the end.
And she gives it to Mordecai.
That's right. So here we are with this. And so then at the first banquet, the king then asked her, what's your request up to half of my kingdom again? She said, well, if you and Haman and I can come to a dinner or a feast, you know, that I've got prepared tomorrow on the next day, which takes us to Nisan 17, which I mentioned is the day that Yeshua came out of the grave in the future. And so the king honored that request. And so they came together. And we'll see here today, we're going to take off right from that point, okay? So the king agreed to that. And so we ended in chapter 5. Let's begin to read here in chapter 6, because this is very key what happened here, because God was right in the middle of this. Now listen to this. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, On that night, after the request was granted, could not the king sleep? And he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor? These two men wanted to kill the king. And so Mordecai was the one who was exposed to the plot, and they were found guilty. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants and men that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And so here he is. He couldn't sleep. You know, this is God in charge here. Okay. Now listen to this. And the king said in verse 4, who is in the court? Right after he read this early in the morning, he says, he heard somebody coming into his court. Who's in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Remember this one Donna talked about? He already had it built, 75 feet tall. And listen to this. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in.
They were buddies.
Yeah. And the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, here's his pride,
To whom would
the king delight to do honor more than to himself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. This is verse 10 now. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. He must have turned as white as a sheet when he heard this.
Or red.
That sitteth in the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor.
So here he is. He's got to parade Mordecai around the through the streets. He has to make these declarations, you know. It's not certainly something he wanted to say.
Yeah.
And here's Mordecai in the king's clothes, on the king's horse, and walking through the city, and everyone sees him, and he is honoring Mordecai, because, you know, even I think about Mordecai, he never puffed himself up or anything, you know, even though he saved the king from dying, because he revealed it. See, God has his time to when things are going to be revealed and when people are going to be blessed for certain things. You may have done something special for somebody, and you felt like you weren't honored. Well, you know, God knows, and God has the right timing to honor someone.
That's right.
And so this was the time to honor Mordecai just the very same day that Haman wants to hang him and
kill
him.
On the gallows, yeah.
So, you know, this is what would make Haman feel really good, because he hated him and he hated the Jews. And so he wanted to get rid of him right away. And then, of course, you know, then he'd be out of the way. And then, you know, then his plan was to also kill all the Jews. So
we're in verse 12 now.
And this is just before they go now to the second banquet.
Right.
And Mordecai came into the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered. He was so angry.
He was in shock.
He must have been red with rage and angry. And Haman told Azarish, his wife, and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. He's telling them all, telling the story. Then said his wise men and his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed, there's the key.
The seed of the Jews.
The seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall. She said, begun to fall. Now you're going to fall. Thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him.
Reminds me of the proverb. Pride comes before a fall. Now
that's
go on,
right.
Now, verse
God's
14.
God's word is true. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman into the banquet that Esther had prepared. So here he is. He's so excited about going to a banquet, yet he's so angry and full of rage because of what had happened and what he had experienced with Mordecai. So, chapter 7.
His wife even prophesied over him there, didn't she?
And they spoke the truth.
That's right.
They spoke the truth. You've begun to fall. If he is of the seed of the Jew, if Mordecai was, and he was of the seed of the Jew. Amen.
Amen.
You know, a lot of the Jewish people at this time had already gone back to Israel, but not everyone chose to go back. And so there were a lot of Jewish people that were still there in Shushan and with all these places and these kingdoms and all these different 27 provinces. There were Jews all over the place.
127, yeah.
127 provinces. They didn't all choose to go back, just like all the Jews haven't chosen to go back to Israel now, but many are going back, but many aren't. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine.
This is Nisan 17 now.
Nisan 17. Remember that. It's very important.
Resurrection Day.
That's Resurrection Day.
First fruits.
And that's going to be next month.
Yeah.
Okay. What is thy petition, Queen Esther, and it shall be granted thee? And what is thy request, and it shall be performed even to half of the kingdom? That just makes me laugh. Here's this woman supposed to be killed, but she's going to get half the kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition. So he had no idea she was a Jew.
That's right.
And my people at my request. He had no idea.
So now she
who
begins to explain it, right.
For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed. To be killed, in other words. To be slain, to perish. That makes it quite clear, doesn't it? The thief comes not but to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. But if we had been sold for bondmen and for bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's
damage.
See, once the king has made a decree, you cannot change it. You have to make another decree for something else. Verse 5. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? In other words,
who is this jerk
that's going to kill you, my queen, and your people? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. And I can just see her pointing to him. This wicked Haman.
This
can
is the man.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
The king probably stood to his feet. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen.
Now look what happens.
And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther. He's going to beg her, you know, the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. He saw the change in the king.
Yeah.
The king's countenance totally changed. You're no longer my buddy. Now you're my enemy.
Now look what happens in verse 8 of chapter 7. This is incredible.
Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. He went back in. And Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was.
Her couch, like that.
Like a couch, right. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Can you see him coming in, putting a bag over his head?
That's right.
and I don't know who this person's name is. It's a hard name.
Harbona.
Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold, also the gallows, 50 feet high.
50 cubits high.
50 cubits high, which that's 75 feet high, actually.
Yeah.
Which Haman hath made for Mordecai. So now they're telling the king, well, you know, there's been a gallows made and 75 feet high to hang Mordecai, the one that you just took out through the city and made these had these declarations made. Think about it. Who had spoken good for the king? Mordecai did, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So what did they do? They went and immediately they hung Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai.
The tables got turned, didn't they?
The tables got turned over.
Then was the king's wrath pacified, yeah.
Did Jesus not turn the tables over?
He sure did.
And yes, that's right.
That's right.
Because they were merchandising in the house of God. Then was the king's wrath pacified. So here we have, you know, you want to do, you think you're going to do evil? Well, you better think twice before you speak against God's anointed.
That's right.
Amen. And that's still for today. You better think twice before you come against those who are called and appointed and anointed,
right,
of God.
And running them down and questioning what God's
because
doing with them.
God doesn't change. You know,
that's right.
This principle is still in what's the word I'm thinking about? Still today. God's principles don't change.
That's right, they don't.
So, you know, what happened to Haman? Well, what he planned for a godly man, God turned the tables
on
him.
That's right. So we want to be careful who we talk about, especially ministers. Amen?
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
And so here we have this, and this happened on, which is important for you all to know, it's happened on Nisan, which is the month of Passover, and it happened on the 17th day of the month of Passover.
Which was actually called first fruits.
First fruits. Yeshua
was the first fruit.
Yeshua was crucified on the 14th of Nisan, and he 3 days later he came out of the grave, which was the 17th of Nisan, and who did he take the keys away from?
The devil.
The devil. And so what happened here? The same type of picture. He's a picture, Haman is a picture of the Antichrist,
right,
and people against God.
And Satan.
And
yeah.
Satan.
Hasatan.
Mm-hmm. Hasatan, right? And Mordecai is a picture of what?
The people of God, really.
The people of God.
That's right. We talked about that last week in Esther chapter 5 about the Bible codes that they revealed, that Yeshua's name is mentioned in chapter 5, verse 1. But you read the verse, you see it. That, you know, King Ahasuerus is like a prophetic to God the Father. What's Esther? A picture of Yeshua. And then what? Mordecai is a picture of the people and how they were going to be blessed. Let's go to chapter 8 now, Pastor Don.
And the people of God were blessed, you know, and they here they're going to have a battle now.
That's
and
right.
They're still going to try to kill, because you can't change the king's decree, right?
Nope.
So they're still going to have a battle and try to kill all the Jews.
So let's see what happens here
now.
So
we see what happens.
Chapter 8, verse 1 says, on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther, the queen. You know, I mentioned it a moment ago. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to be put to put away the mischief of Haman, the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. This is the second time now. So Esther rose and stood before the king. He accepted her again and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing even seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther, the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him have they hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. So now they wrote a new decree, because he couldn't cancel the other one. So they're going to find out with
so
this decree, they were able to defend themselves.
So it's going
to
be like a bow.
That's right.
It's
for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month. This is the month of Sivan. It tells you right here. That's the month of what? Pentecost. Is the month of Sivan on the 23rd day of the month, the 23rd day. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and the rulers of the provinces which are from India unto Ethiopia. What an area. 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. And he wrote in the, see, he even had to write in these different languages.
That's right.
He wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring.
That's right.
And sent the letters by post or on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely on the 13th day of the 12th month, this was 11 months later, which is the month of Adar, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. Now let's go on.
So we have two decrees that have gone out.
That's
one
right.
One that Haman did, which he's already, now he's dead.
He's but dead.
That decree has still gone out, and it's still going out, because he's got 10 wicked sons, you know. They're not dead yet. And so they're still planning on killing all the Jews. Mm-hmm. And now another decree comes out and goes out, and it's sent out to everyone.
Just like the other one.
All the different 127 provinces.
Must have taken a while to do that.
And that's right. It took a while. Well, we're looking at the battle was almost a whole year away.
Yeah.
And so here we go now. But now we're going to have to got two decrees out there. And it makes me think about, whose side are you on? Are you on God's side or are you on the devil's side? You know, there's many people even today that are on the devil's side. They're not on God's side. And so things really haven't really changed that much, have they? If you think about it, you know. But there's more on our side, I mean, because we are on God's side. And so when you're on God's side, you know, God is the one who fights for us. We don't fight with the, this was an actual battle, but we don't fight against with the, we fight in principalities and powers. It talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're to have put on the whole armor of God, that we're able to win this battle, you know, because it's not a battle of flesh and blood, but it's a battle in the heavenlies, because we know now Jesus has already, he took the keys away from Satan on that Nisan 17, the same day that Haman died on that gallows. Haman was a picture of Satan, as like Pastor Gene said. And so, but we know on Nisan 17, many hundred years later, Jesus took the keys away from Satan. And so he's given us that power and authority. And so we're supposed to do what it says over there in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm wondering how many Christians really do have on the full armor of God to be able to win the battle. Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. No, we're not. We're fighting against powers and principalities and things of the heavenlies, you know. And we have God on our side.
That's right.
So, you know, God has a picture here in the natural, but also in the spiritual. But they had to do a spiritual thing too. They prayed and they fasted and they sought the Lord.
That's right.
And they obeyed God. And so here we have.
Here the enemy can fight against flesh and blood though, didn't they? That's right.
That's true. But they did pray and they did seek the Lord and they did get direction.
Amen.
And they did found favor even with the king. You know, we can have favor with kings, even people, even presidents and kings. You know, there are many people that have had. But they've been brought in before kings and queens, and they would listen to the word of God. Oh, well, what about King James? What about him? When they were trying to destroy the Bibles and all that.
Yep.
Well, King James, God, look how God used him. And that's just another whole teaching there. But, you know, King James, he didn't write this Bible. He
authorized it.
And he set the people in place to do the Bible.
To translate it. Mm-hmm.
So here we have, you know, it's all, nothing's changed really. There's always a battle. And so, you know, our life needs to be, if we put God first, if we seek first the kingdom of God and we seek his righteousness, you know, God is going to turn the tables on the enemy. Because we have favor with the Lord.
That's right. So the rest of chapter 8 here just tells you what they were to do, and they avenged themselves, and a lot of the Persians were killed and all that. And I'm going to go down to verse 16. It says, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, and in every province and in every city whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them.
Isn't that awesome?
They converted to Judaism.
They converted.
Now we're in chapter 9, and we see that in chapter 9 it talks about the 10 sons that Haman had, and they were taken in this month, and they were hung on a gallows and killed. So we have a pattern here, a picture again, don't we, of Satan, also the Antichrist, mm-hmm. and those 10 nations that will be there at the end. So we have a wonderful pattern here. So those were all killed. Tells you
verse
that.
9 now talks about, now we're coming to the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, uh-huh. and on the 13th day of the same, when the kings commanded that his decree drew near to put to execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them. They hoped to have power, right?
That's right.
Though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. See, everyone hated the Jews. Has anything changed? There's a lot of people that hate the Jews.
That's right.
You know? The Jews haven't, the church hasn't replaced the Jewish people. A lot of people would say that now, but it's not true. Verse 2, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities. See, they stuck together throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hands on such as sought their hurt. They didn't go out to hunting to kill people. They were those who were coming after them.
That's right.
They battled.
Fear fell upon them.
No man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon the people. And all the rulers of the province and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers and of the kings helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. Mordecai, remember, Mordecai is now, you can see right back here in 13, it tells you how he's dressed. He's in royal colors of purple and blue, and he has a great crown of gold and a garment and fine linen and purple and all these things. You know, he was number one after the king in the kingdom. For Mordecai was great in the king's house.
That's right.
And his fame went out throughout all the provinces, for this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater favor and more favor and more favor he had, didn't he?
You know, one interesting thing here, Pastor Dell, when they were able to defend themselves, because mm-hmm. The king had given permission to take the spoil as well.
That's
they
right.
refused to take any of the spoil. And why? Because King Saul, way back, was told not to take
not
anything.
To take
so
it.
They honored that. This is incredible.
They didn't take the spoil. Amen. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughtered and destruction and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan, the palace, the Jewish slew and destroyed 500 men.
Right there in that city, yeah.
Right there. And then there were other cities. There were lots and lots and lots. And look at verse 10. I love this part. The 10 sons of Haman, the son of
Hammedatha,
the enemy of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil lay they not their hands.
They wouldn't touch it.
So they killed these 10 sons, right?
And hung them on gallows.
And on that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan, the palace, was brought before the king. And the king said unto the Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the palace, and the ten sons of Haman. What have they done in
the rest of the provinces?
Right. And now, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. Or what is thy request further? And it shall be done.
Mm-hmm.
Then said Esther, if it please the king.
Here we go, another request.
See how she makes her request?
Yeah.
Let it be granted to the Jews, which are in Shushan, to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows.
That's right.
So I just like to see this. When I saw this, my Lord showed me this after we'd done this Purim program several times. We've probably done it 10 or 12 times since in the church, you know, is that those 10 sons, 10 is a number of overcoming the power of the darkness, power of enemies. Remember there were 10
yeah.
plagues?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, there's a lot of places in the Bible where it talks about 10. But these 10 men were hung on the gallows and they were already dead. What? To make a point.
That's right.
God makes a point.
Sure does.
He makes a display.
Absolutely.
To display. It was a sign mm-hmm. unto them.
That's
Go
right.
Go ahead, Pastor Gene.
Well, just we Let's go down to verse 15. But the Jews were in Shushan, gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month of Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan, but on their prey they laid not their hands again. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, and had rest from their enemies, and slew of their foes 75,000, and they laid not their hands on their prey.
75,000.
And on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, rested they and made it a day of feasting and fasting. Amen?
Gladness and fasting.
Okay. So let's move up down to verse 20.
This is why it's called Purim. It's called the days of feasting and joy.
Right. And verse 20 says, and Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces, again, 127 provinces of the kings of a king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day of the same year. So this is the time of Purim. Now, it was not an appointed time, but God's going to remember these dates. So it's on what? Adar, what? 14 and Adar 15. And so and let's go on. And verse 22, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor, and so on.
So it's a time of giving gifts, you know.
That's right.
You know, the book of Esther, it tells the truth of how God moves in difficult situations to deliver his people, showing us the power of God, amen. When obedience is followed by God's people, young or old, because she was young and he was old. And the Jews undertook to, where do you want to go now? Verse 24.
Okay.
Because Haman, the son of
Hammedatha,
the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast that is, the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked devices, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head. What happened? It returned upon his own head. Doesn't the Bible talk about that too?
Yeah.
Wow. And that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. So here we have Haman's hung, and all his sons were hung on the gallows. Wherefore, they called these days
Purim,
after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined them, remember some joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year. So it's an appointed time.
For the Jewish
it's an appointed time to remember these things, and God tells us to remember these appointed times. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation. Well, that's even up till now, isn't it, Pastor Gene? That's why we're doing this Purim thing today. Every family, every province, and every city. And that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews. Imagine all the Jews are thinking about this week. Amen. Nor the memorial of them perish from their seed.
So it wasn't actually an appointed time that God put in place, but it was to be what? A memorial. And so the Jews, what they called an appointed time for themselves to honor these 2 days.
Now, and it shows us that God, we overcome. Amen.
Amen.
Where am I at? Then Esther, the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai, the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. So they had authority. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim in their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had a decree for themselves and for their seed, the matters of the fasting and their cry. They see, they remember their fasting and cry.
Right.
And didn't Jesus say, when you fast?
Yeah.
When you fast? And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim And it was written in the book.
Now, chapter 10 is really special. Listen to this. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. Mm-hmm. And all the acts of his power and of his might and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai, the Jew, was next unto king. So these things went into the Chronicles that the king woke the night, he couldn't sleep, okay?
That's right.
For Mordecai, the Jew, was next unto the king, Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking what? Peace to all his seed. Isn't that incredible?
Imagine. And God's got this written in his book. You know,
that's right.
This is his book. It's all written down
all
that we might learn and we might know that working together with God,
That's
right. As we work together with God, you know,
we'll have the victory.
In one accord, mm-hmm. we're going to have the victory.
So I'll challenge all of you, if you read this book, Esther, think about it. We find out a lot of things from way back that's been carried through the church without
Thank
a lot of
Lord.
Understanding. We need to take a new look at some of the old prophecies and see what God's showing us. And so this was basically a new look.
Thank you, Lord.
Look, thinking about those 3 days that Esther and all the people and Shushan there prayed and fasted. And how she had 2 banquets instead of one. You know, I thought, why didn't she just have 1 banquet? Because God wanted to be on the right day to show something to you and I prophetically that was going to happen in the future about his son. When Jesus came out of the grave at his resurrection, glory be to God, what happened? He destroyed the power of the enemy completely. He took the keys of death and hell away from him. So when Haman was hung on those gallows,
Amen.
What happened? He was destroyed, and it broke the curse that was there for those 577 years that King Saul never fulfilled. But Mordecai and Esther, with the help of God, they fulfilled it, and they eliminated this curse that was upon them from the Amalekites.
Isn't and Mordecai had some very precious words that are famous. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And God still says the same thing to us today because he's given us power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this radio program, WCNO, and also on the internet, WCNO.com. You can go and listen to this again later or tomorrow if you'd like to. We just are blessed to be here, and we have church services here in Stuart, Florida, on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And we also have fellowship afterwards and a meal. We also have services on Friday night at 7 p.m. and also classes on Saturday. So if you'd like to come to a Bible study class, we are teaching on Christian foundations. We'll be doing that again next week. So give us a phone call. We'd be glad to get some information to you. If you'd like a calendar, if you'd like to just speak to Pastor Gene or myself, you can give us a phone call. The telephone number is area code 772-285-7007. If you'd like to come and visit us, we can give you the directions. Just call that
Amen.
Number, area code 772-285-7007.
Amen. And if I have time next week at the beginning, I'd like to do this. I'd like to share how Purim will be used in the last 7 years of
Amen.
Jacob's trouble. You can prove it in Daniel. We'll talk about that next week.
That's what we'll do the following week. That's next week at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time on WCNO.com.
So we tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh, and we love you, and we're here because we want to see people raised up. And what do we say when we close, Pastor
Shabbat Dog? Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.